Joe Ingles back on the floor and throws down a three. All fighter.
Oh, no, yeah. NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Australia for Monday, October 29. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a very dusty, broken host today, I'll tell you that much. I am a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet beer money. Don't need any more of those, though. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know what's going on, who's doing it, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. And of course, who's doing it better than that Spud Lonzo Ball in the NBA today? Just while repping Australia a little bit, mate. Which is what we do here at NBA Australia. Hungover or no. Oh, geez. All right, so today's show is going to wrap the entire NBA weekend. We had a whole mess of fun shit going on. We've also got our first fired coach. Nailed it. So we'll tackle all the weekend action with weekend winners and losers. And then there's all the usual dumbassery. That means that's not a knife. Old mate, no mate. Spud of the weekend. Better than Lonzo Ball, obviously. And of course, there's always, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day. An Outback Steakhouse, where we serve up some flame grilled takes. And because it's Monday, as we do every Monday, we award our coveted dickhead of the weekend. And we add to the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. And we're also going to preview and pick all nine games for a huge NBA Tuesday. Oh, geez. The best bit, we finish up with a brand new Deli review. Deli's been spending his spare time catching up on another sport. It's pretty great. Trust me. All right, man. Let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 170. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Either that or you're going to watch out for the can attack. Jesus Christ. Put your hand up if you sank too many tins on the weekend. Well, you can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. Holy shit. All right, let's get stuck in. We start every show with the daily whip around. So there it is, and we've got a great one. There's a little bit of news. I don't know if you heard, but Ty Lue got shit canned. That's right. The coach of last year's NBA finalist, Cleveland Cavaliers. Who are they, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland.
That's right. Got shit canned by Dan Gilbert after starting 0-6. That's fucking wild, isn't it? Oh, geez. Dan Gilbert. No one's ever going to say that he doesn't run a stable organization. poor Ty Lue, how's that? He went through all that anxiety, basically fucking put himself in hospital by giving his all to this job, and then six games into a rebuilding year where Dan Gilbert doesn't realize that his team is shit, the poor bastard gets fired. It's a rough one, I'll tell you. So other injury stuff, speaking of the Cavs, Kevin Love still not playing at the moment due to some foot soreness. It seems like they're going to take a softly approach with K-Love, which means they're probably just going to baby the poor guy until they can trade him in January, which is the soonest they can after he signed that big old extension. So, yeah. Kevin Love. It's a rough one if you've got him in fantasy, I'll tell you that much. All right, let's get through to the weekend winners. One of my absolute favorite segments. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot at me?
How good is that? Weekend winners. I mean, sure. We can go the Raptors and Bucks. How's that sound? They're still undefeated. They're the final two undefeated teams in the NBA. The Bucks beat the piss out of the Wolves and Magic. Winning games they have to, actually. I mean, against, you know, teams like the Wolves, who are a rabble. And the Magic, who are, you know, sneaky okay and beat the Celtics last week too. And Buds has finally realized he's got two guns on his bench in Dali and Kung Fu Thon Song Thon McCur. Thon, which is great. So Raps and Bucks, definite winners. Other winners from the weekend, the Spurs. They just keep beating the Lakers, which is awesome. And DeRozan there has now scored the most points in Spurs franchise history in his first run of Spurs games. That's right, 136 points for DeMar in his first five games with the Spurs, which surpasses the franchise record of 115 set by rookie David Robinson. Unreal. And they're just sort of motoring along, aren't they? Good on them. Good job, Spurs. Sitting there 3-2. Two of those wins against LeBron. Awesome. Other winners, the Thunder, because they finally got a fucking win. Also, the kid who got a Westbrook shoe in exchange for his pizza that then Westbrook didn't take because it's pizza. Still, I don't know if that... I mean, who's the loser in this? Is it Westbrook? Because he gave away a shoe and never even got the pizza. Also, what the fuck is that kid going to do with one shoe? And who throws a shoe? Oh, geez. Anyway, Thunder, good on yous. You finally got off the schneid. They're now 1-4, equal to the Houston Rockets. Just think about that for a second. So your Cavs are the only winless team in the NBA. We'll talk about that in a second. And final weekend winners, LeBron James. He motored past Dirk Nowitzki into 6th overall in the scoring list of all time in the NBA, which is unreal. Good job, LeBron. How about the weekend losers?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys. Shut up.
Loser. Love it. All right, weekend losers, Cavs fans. That's right. Do you remember that the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland, won an NBA title 2 years ago? 2016, they won the title. They've been to 4 straight NBA finals. They were in the finals, like, fucking a couple of months ago. And then they just fired their coach, Ty Lue. That is unfucking real, man. So they've gone from a title and finalists 4 years straight to being a complete and utter fucking rabble. Oh, man. So, look, I get that winning the title is like the cure-all, but, man, it is a fucking rough outlook for the Cavs now, right? Get rid of everybody. Get Kyle Korver out of there. Trade Kevin Love. Let's just fucking do it. Other losers, the Wolves. I mean, hot damn. But the Wolves are a weird, shitty team, right? They got absolutely shit pumped by the Bucks on the weekend. And they lost to the Raptors as well before that. So it's just all getting a bit weird. And I like everyone's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's like, yeah, I don't know that it's fine. You're 2-4. Jesus. And then finally, weekend losers, but they're still kind of winners, aren't they? The Pistons and the Pelicans. They had to give up their title of undefeated teams with their losses to the Celtics and Jazz, respectively. But you know what? I think the Pelicans will be all right. Pistons, they might go into a tailspin. You never know with that goddamn franchise, huh? Anyway, so let's quickly wrap every game from the weekend. We're going to fly through this one. Hornets beat the Bulls 135-106. Kemba. Out there crushing another 30 points. Warriors went into MSG and smashed them 128-100. Steph loves putting on a show in MSG and was the coward Kevin Durant with 41. Raps beat the Mavs. Kawhi, whoa, out there crushing it. Clips mashed the Rockets 133-113, which was nuts. Montrezl Harrell had a career night with 30. Pelicans just hung on over the Nets. Jrue Holiday had a bit of a game winner there. The go-ahead, it was all tied up at 115, and he hit the game winner with 2 seconds left. Bucks, as I said, shit-pumped the Wolves 125-95 by 30 points in Minnesota. Jimmy Butts was sick, but they still got beat by 30, which is fucking nuts. The best bit for this was we got Thon and King Deli out there playing together, crushing it. Thon hit his first shot of the year. He hit a corner three. We'll talk about their resulting games in the NBA Australia Player Watch. And then finally, to show you just how much of another fucking rebel are out there in the Washington Wizards, they lost to the Sacramento Kings 116-112. Jesus, Belly Belitza, he had 26-12, and they're crushing it. How's that? The bloody fucking Kings, man. Who'd have thunk it? That's awesome. I mean, good on them, because they don't have their pick this year, so they're 3-3 at the moment. Good on you. On Sunday, we had the Celtics beating the Pistons 109-89. Pistons, obviously, as mentioned, no longer undefeated. Jazz beat the Pelicans 132, also getting the undefeated tag taken away from them. Ricky Rubio, man, like the Jazz like 12-3 or whatever when he scores over 20, and he had 28 in that one, and they killed the Pels. Bulls beat the Hawks 97-85. Zach LaVine, he's run a 30-point games, which was at, I believe, 4 or 5 straight. which was nuts. 4 or 5. Yeah, it was 5. He had 27 in this one, so came very close. The Pacers beat the shit out of the Cavs. Victor Oladipo got some revenge for the first round loss last year and getting Ty Lue fired. So I don't know how good you got to feel about that there, Victor. Sixers just got by the Hornets, 105-83. Sixers needed that one. Bobby Covington smashed at 18-10. Embiid at 27-14. Big Simo, 14-12-3. We'll talk about his weekend in the NBA Australia Play Watch. Kemba had 37, though, on that one. It's crushing it, mate. Heat beat the Blazers, 121-11. Hangover game for the Blazers. You knew it. I called it on Friday. It was like, all right, they're going to be spending the entire weekend in fucking Florida. They're going to go to Disney World. They're going to hit all the clubs. And then they're going to get their ass beat by the Heat after they beat the Magic. And that's exactly what happened. Unbelievable. Dame still had 41, though. Classic Dame. Grizz beat the Suns. Ugh, gross. Bucks, as mentioned, beat the Magic. Bucks still undefeated. And the Spurs in the final game of the weekend, 110-106, keep beating the Lakers. Huge DeMar DeRozan game in that one. DeMar DeRozan, yeah. Almost triple-double at 13-12-8. Smashing it this year. He had 8 points in the fourth quarter and brought him home. LeBron had 35-11. And Pop, we'll talk about him in just a second, but hit a big milestone. And then today's games that we told you we'd be covering. Warriors at Nets. Nets, 114 the Nets, 120 the Warriors. Nets were down 16 in the fourth and came all the way back. Nearly stole this, literally. They got a steal with 15 seconds left, down 4. Joe Harris. The 3 went in and then came out. It was brutal. So for the Nets, D'Angelo Russell had 25, 6, and 6, along with 5 turnovers. That's classic D'Angelo. Alan Crabb, the Crab Boil, Mr. Krabby Patty himself, had a big fourth quarter, got them all the way back in it, ended up with 14. It's my Sweet Baby Carrots. Sweet Baby Karis LeVert, 23 points, 7 assists, and 3 rebounds. He is crushing it this year. I love him. For the Warriors, Steph, he set a record. Pretty bloody good. We'll talk about that in just a little second, though, because he is absolutely smashing it. 35 he had. The Coward, Kevin Durant, had 34-2. Dre chucked in 13 assists. And Clay, look, just saying, Clay hasn't been all that great this year. And he wasn't very good in this one. I mean, I love him, but maybe all those trips to China just really taking it out of him, you know? That weird dancing and shit that he does. Clay, buddy, what are you doing? What are you doing, mad? What are you doing? Anyway, so Clay... Look, they come out of it, doesn't matter, they win. It's just the classic Golden State, you know? They just, doesn't matter what you throw at them, they somehow find a way. Speaking of Clay, I mean, so far for the year, 14 points a game, only shooting 38% from the field, and 12.9% from three. That is unbelievable. 15.4% over his last fucking five, mate. Absolutely brutal. Anyway, so other games for today. The Mavs hosted the Jazz, and the Jazz held them off and won 113-104. For the Mavs, Luka looked pretty good. He had 14-6-5. DeAndre Jordan, though, almost had a triple-double. He had a career-high 9 assists in this game. It was an absolute pearl from DJ. He was out there crushing it, mad. Going up against Rudy... And Rudy Gobert and the Stafford Tower. DeAndre had 12 points, 19 rebounds, 9 assists. Meanwhile, Rudy had himself a game for the Jazz. 23 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists. And he had a couple of blocks in there as well. Absolutely unreal. Dennis Smith Jr. crushed it. He had 27. Good on him. That was an awesome game by Denny. For the Jazz, though, I mean, Jingles had a kind of an interesting one. He had 4 turnovers, but he had 12 points. Shooting wasn't too bad. He had 7 rebounds and 5 assists, though. Donovan fucking Mitchell, he had 20 points on 19 shots. Classic Donny. And as mentioned, Rudy Gobert crushed it, 23-16. Good on you, Jazz. Needed to win that, and they did. Entertaining game, though. The Mavs are very, very sneaky good. Suns at Thunder. Thunder whooped them. Rolled over the top of them. This is a bit of a laugher. And the Suns put up 34 in the fourth quarter, but it was because it was mostly done by then. 117-110, the Thunder win. Get their first win on the board. No Devin Booker for the Suns in this. Out with a bit of a hammy strain. So Eli Okobo, he came in. Frenchie at 18 points, 8 assists. He is awesome. He was one of my favorite picks in the last year's draft. He's going to be a good one. DeAndre Ayton, he had 16, 11, and 3. He's so bloody good too. And TJ Warren got his TJ Warren points, aka the emptiest of all empty points in the NBA. 18 points on 17 shots. Love TJ Warren. For the Thunder... 20 points and 15 rebounds, if you can believe this, for Nerlens Noel. That's right. Steven Adams didn't go in this one. He had like a little bit of a calf pregame where he's like, it feels a bit tight. So they threw Nerlens in there, crushed it. 20-15, didn't even foul out in 13 minutes like he did last week. Also had 4 steals, 2 assists, and a block. That is awesome. Rusty, 23-9-7 with 4 steals. Didn't even shoot a 3. Maybe you should keep that up there, Rusty. And PG looked very smooth. He had 23-4-5-3-2. 4-5-3-2. That's awesome. On your poor George. Had to win this game. The Thunder did, and they did. So good on them. As mentioned, they are now 1-4. And then finally, who gives a fuck about this game? It was gross. 136-104. The Clippers beat the absolute bejesus out of the 1-5 Wizards. Made some minor at this one. Hated it. But they did get to go to the Rangers game just before it, which was neat. There was also Doc Rivers coaching against his son again after fucking cutting bait with him in the offseason. Love it. But yeah, this was over in the third, so whatever. John Wall and Brad Beal went 16-36 and had 38 points between them. And Otto, I like to get Blatto Porter. He had 6 points, which is what $20 million buys you now. Whereas for the Clips, Tobias Harris looked great again, had 22. Pat Bev and Avery Bradley had 11-15, while Lou Will came off the bench and had 17. And the Clippers just sort of slowly, quietly rolling there, 4-2. Looking very good. Montrezl Harrell, man, he is fucking smashing it as well. I love him. One of my favorite players out there at the moment. He had 13-6 in this one, backing up his 30, the career high. All right, let's get to the NBA Stray Repoo performance of the weekend then, shall we?
That's not nice. That's a knife.
That is a knife, the coward, Kevin Durant. We've got a couple of performances of the weekend. First up is the coward in MSG, 41 points. Nice little bit of a prick tease for all the Knicks fans out there dreaming of the coward coming to join the Zinger at MSG next year on the Clips. The Knicks. Use your words. Can you tell I'm real fucking hungover? Good on you, the coward. 41 was pretty good. Dame obviously had 41 as well. But look, I'm going to give this one to Steph, hitting a record 7 consecutive games with over 5 three-pointers made. 7 consecutive games. That is unbelievable. He made them all in the first half of this one as well. He ends up with 7 in this game. Ends up with 35 points as the Warriors just get over the Nets. And he is absolutely fucking torching motherfuckers at the moment. Out there putting up his MVP case. Good on ya. The kid. The mouth guard kid, they call him. Steph Curry. And then the final NBA Strayer approved performance of the weekend. That's not a knife. That's a fucking knife. Greg Popovich, he became the 5th ever coach to get the 1,200 wins in the NBA, and he became the first one to do it with only one team. That is un-bloody real. Greg Popovich, he's joining, Don Nelson, Lenny Wilkins, Jerry Sloan, and Pat Riley as the only 5 coaches with 1,200 career wins, which was absolutely amazing. He is one of the best to ever do it. We're going to talk about that later. All right, who was old mate no mates on the weekend, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today off the weekend? Gee, it might be the former coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hang on a second.
Cleveland!
That's right. Tyronn Lue. We called this on Friday here at NBA Australia. We're like, all right, is Ty Lue coaching for his job? And he and Billy Donovan were our 2 candidates for it. And yeah, that's what happened. Dan Gilbert on the old dog and bone, called up fucking Kobe Altman and went, hey, bro, can you fire Ty Lue? He's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to cop a shitload of shit for this. So he did it, and Ty Lue's gone. He made the finals 6 games ago. Just put that in perspective. Just saying. But the best part is, if his old mate, no mates in Cleveland organization, everyone else is like, ah, good on you, Ty Lue. You're in a shit situation there, bro. And he also signed an extension after that finals win. So now he's going to get paid out $15 million bucks after they won the title. So he gets paid like $13 to $15 million to not work for Dan Gilbert anymore. That is a pretty, 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 pretty big win, I would say, for anybody. So, old mate, no mates. It's also going to be a silver lining for Ty Lue. Still, Billy Donovan, if they had have lost that game against the Suns, I reckon he would have joined him. All right, Spud of the weekend, though.
Spud.
Spot of the weekend. We've got a couple of candidates for this one. Blake Griffin against the Celtics, mate. What the fuck happened there, Blake? He's like, oh, bro, I dropped 50. And then against the Celtics, he's like, oh, fuck, what do I do? He had 7 points on 2 of 13 shooting. John Starks, Kobe! And 0 of 4 from 3 with 3 turnovers. Blake, that is a spud-worthy performance. But Jimmy Butler, as mentioned at the top, where he was sick. He shot 2 of 11 for 4 points against the Bucks, which was absolutely brutal. And then the final spot of the weekend was Rondo. Rajon Rondo is back after a clean clocking fucking CP3. But anyway, against the Spurs, he passed up an open layup while they were down 3 with 15 seconds left. And everybody got up in arms about that one, I'll tell you that much. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, on your Rondo, that's a bit of a spud-worthy performance. And then finally, the pantsing of the weekend. Who was it? It was the Wolves. As mentioned, they got shit-pumped by the Bucks. You can't lose by 30 to a fellow playoff team. That's exactly what the Wolves did. Brutal. Also, maybe a late-running awesome one. Today, Monday, Josh Jackson, his flop against Westbrook was pretty fucking egregious as well. Dude looked like he was a fucking extra in a kung fu movie starring Thon McCur, the way he fucking leapt back at the tiniest amount of contact. So that's going to be a shacked in a fool. Everyone's going to be talking about that one. It was a great one. All right, two more to go for the segments. Let's do it. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
That's right. Coming for everybody. Luka Doncic. Massive game against the Raptors on Friday. 22 points, 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3 to go with 5 rebounds and 4 assists. He was awesome. DeAndre Ayton had a good weekend. As mentioned, Dennis Smith Jr., 27 points. So all three. Luka, DeAndre Ayton, and Dennis Smith Jr. are better than our combo of Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. Trae Young against the Bulls, 13 points, 3 of 12 shooting, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. While Lonzo against the Spurs was a bit of a spud. 6 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 of 8 shooting. Jeez, to go with 3 turnovers. Not bloody great, mate. Not bloody great. And then finally, it's here. It's Dickhead of the Weekend. We all love it. It's one of the best. Let's do it.
Dickhead of the
Weekend. It might have been me for drinking too many fucking cans yesterday, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. Anyway, so you know that kind of hungover where like you turn your head a little bit too quickly and like your eyeballs are sort of tracking a bit slowly and you just suddenly get the head spins because you moved your head. That's where I'm at. Anyway, Dickhead of the Weekend, Dan Gilbert. Larry Drew will be the Cavs' fifth coach in 7 seasons. So to break down Dan Gilbert's reign of terror, 7 coaches, 5 GMs, 1 owner. What do you think the through line is on all of this? Seriously, that's 1 coaching change every 2.5 years. Well, 2.2 seasons, basically. We've seen Mike Brown hired twice, which is unbelievable. Byron Scott, remember that? David Blatt, Ty Lue, fucking hell, man. Now Larry Drew sort of stuck with his interim head coach kind of thing where he's like, oh, I don't know. Do you want to call me interim? I don't know if I want to stick it. Maybe you should make me the head coach. I did coach the fucking Bucks, bro, and the Hawks at some point, didn't he? I don't know, probably. Anyway, so look, that's a lot of coaches and GMs. And the best part about this is Dan Gilbert just loves paying coaches to not coach for him. Mike Brown's 5-year deal that he signed in 2013 and then David Blatt's 4-year deal that he signed in 2014 only just ran out. And then 6 games into this year, Dan Gilbert's like, fuck it, I need to pay a coach not to fucking coach for me. So he fired Ty Lue and now has to pay him $15 million. That is classic and I love it. But anyway, Dan Gilbert, I'm just saying, there's 1 owner, there's 7 coaches, there's 5 GMs. You're the one fucking constant. And you're our Dickhead of the Weekend. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, it's time for Yeah Nah. Oh, how good is this house hat song, though? They're my bros who are over there at the Clippers game. Nice one. Anyways, Yeah Nah, where we take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And number 1, right at the top, let's just get into it. Did Ty Lue deserve to get shit canned? Yeah, nah. Nah! I mean, mate, he fucking literally made the final 6 games ago. Dan Gilbert, you're a joke. I mean, at what point did you think this season, you're like, oh, yeah, cool. We take away the best player in the NBA, and in his starting position, we'll put a second-year Turkish guy. That should work out just as well. No, you fucking idiots. You should have been like, had your eyes open and gone, oh, yeah, so we probably won't be very good. And from all the reports, it seemed like Kobe Altman was like, hey, Ty Lue, can you play some of the younger guys a bit more? And Ty Lue's like, yeah, all right. Tried it for 1 game. They got beaten by the fucking Hawks of all teams. And then he started playing JR and Kyle Korver again. I mean, Kobe Altman, just fucking trade them away if you don't want him to play them. Like, what are you doing, you dipshit? And it's like, oh, nah, he's being unreasonable. We need to fire him. He just took you to the finals and won a fucking championship for you, you dickheads. What the fuck is going on here? It's unbelievable. So Ty Lue didn't deserve to get shit canned. The Cavs organization is an absolute fucking rabble at this point. And look, just sell the fucking team, Dan Gilbert. We all know that you want to like own Detroit because that's where like all your shit is. So why are you doing this whole Cavs thing? Just fucking give up the ghost, mate. Sell it to somebody. Anyway, Ty Lue did not deserve to get shit canned. They just don't know what the fuck's going on in that organization. Speaking of coaches, we mentioned this before. Is Pop the GOAT of NBA coaches? Yeah, nah. Oh, this is so fucking close. Maybe, but I don't know. 11 is substantially more than 5. But at the same time, Pop has consistently evolved and is still a fucking NBA coach on a team that kicks ass because he's evolving all the time. Whereas Phil Jackson has been run out of the league for being a fucking dinosaur who doesn't realize that three-pointers are good. I don't know. But 11, that's a lot of rings. To be fair, P-Jax did have 3 of what, the top 12 NBA players of all time play for him and win him those rings as well. Whereas Pop's had what? 1 of the top 12? David Robinson's probably what? Top 25? Anyway. It's a tough one. Look, 11's still more than 5. Just going to leave it at that. What do you reckon? Yeah, it's a tough one. Anyway. Moving on. Next one. is Damian Lillard the most underrated player in the NBA this year? Yeah, nah. No, it's close, but it's Kemba at the moment. He's carrying the Hornets, scoring 31.7 points a game. And fucking no one is talking about Kemba Walker. While Dame is leading the NBA in scoring, hey, did you know that? Dame is leading the NBA in scoring, and not many people are talking about him. At the same time, he was All-NBA first team last year. So I'm not entirely convinced he's underrated. I think everyone actually completely rates him. I just don't know if enough people are talking about how good he's been so far this year. But the same goes for Kemba. He's 3rd in NBA in scoring. He's behind Dame and Steph. And yeah, 31.7, 33.8. Loving it at the moment. Loving the guards tearing it up at the moment as well. All right, now it's time for the unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. You know what? I don't think Ty Lue's a bad coach. I think he's going to go somewhere else, a bit more chill and with a better sort of ownership structure and kick some ass. He's going to hang out, get paid for a while, and then he'll just become the hottest name on the coaching carousel, right? As opposed to David Blatt, who became persona non grata as soon as he got shit canned for Ty Lue. Yeah, I think Ty Lue would be good. He might not be the greatest coach for a young team, it would seem. But I am curious to see how he'd go with like a team that he can kind of come in and mold the way he wants to do it. So, yeah, I don't think Ty Lue's bad. I think he got a bit of a bad rap. He made some very questionable, dumb fucking decisions throughout some finals and stuff, but he did win a championship. So, I don't know. What do you reckon? How long until the Ty Lue for Luke Walton? Like, how many games does Luke Walton have to lose with the Lakers before that all starts off? Because I'm more than happy to start it. And it was one thing I was thinking about, like, last week when we said that he might be the first one to get shit canned. And it's like, yeah. And then as soon as Luke Walton gets fucking fired, where do you reckon Ty Lue ends up? But, you know, Lakers 2-4. What do you reckon? They're going to be, what, 2-10 before Walton gets shit canned? Yeah, maybe. All right, let's quickly step into Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback Takehouse, and that means 2-for-1 Bloomin' Onions. No prick back in Australia knows what they are, but we're serving them up here at Outback Takehouse alongside our flame grilled takes. And today's flame grilled takes are... The San Antonio Spurs don't need to make more than three threes to win, because that's what they did on the weekend against the Lakers, and threes are for cowards anyway. And then our final Outback Takehouse take, flame grilled take for today is... Dan Gilbert is right to do what he wants, because it's his team and he brought Cleveland a title. Oh, that's even a bit rough for me and Outback Takehouse. Fuck that shit. I mean, he can. It's his fucking franchise, but still, wanker. All right, we'll be back with the Australian Player Watch and some other stuff right after these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. Wasn't a giant weekend for the Aussies, but we did get a lot more action because we got Thon and Dele back out there, which is great. So Big Simo, Ben Simmons, played the Hornets on Sunday, and so did Jonah Bolden, obviously. Big Simo had a 14-12-3. It was pretty solid. Missed a bunch of shots, though. Shot 5 of 20. Rough one from the floor. But they still got the win. Just eked it out. On your Big Simo. Jonah Bolden didn't get out there. That was another DNPCD. Did not play. Coach's decision. That's his fourth for the year. For the Jazz, the jingler Joe Ingles, he was at the Pelicans on Sunday. Had a rough one in that one, I'll tell you. 2 of 10 from the field. 0 of 4 from 3. Finishes up with a 7 point, 4 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal line. But then was a bit better against the Mavs today on Monday. The shooting was still a bit off, but it was okay. 12 points, 4 of 11 from the field. Hit 3 of 7 threes, though. To go with these 7 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. Currently shooting 44.1% from 3. On your jingler. Dante Exum, though. Kangaroo Kobe absolutely fucking smashed against the Pelicans on Sunday. Looked very good. He had 11 points, 5 of 10 from the field. 2 assists as well. And then today against the Mavs, rough shooting night, but still very good all round. He had 1 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3. Ends up with 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a block and a steal. Pretty good. But for the Bucks, King Deli of Maryborough, first of his name, smasher of tins. Apparently I tipped a few too many back in his honour. Wolves against the Magic. First against the Wolves, then against the Magic. Against the Wolves, yeah, he was out there for 10 minutes, hit 2 threes back to back, crushing it. 6 points, 3 assists, 2 of 4 from the field. And then against the Magic, he got out there again for 6 more minutes. 1 of 2 from the field, one of the which was a 3. So we end up with 3 points, 1 rebound and 1 assist. Deli, it's just amazing to see him back out there, isn't it? He's an inspiration to us all. For Thon, as mentioned, he got out there for his first game of the year against the Wolves, hit his first shot as well, which is a corner three. Ended up with 8 points, 4 rebounds and a block, 3 of 4 from the field. Thon, smashing it, mate. So he's 1 of 2 from 3 for the year. And then against the Magic, goes 0-1 from the field, ends up with 0 points, 3 rebounds, 1 block in 6 minutes. Pretty good 30 per 36 numbers on the rebounds there, Thon. But Patty Thrills Mills, they hosted the Lakers on Sunday, and he didn't have to hit another game winner, but he was very good. In 25 minutes, he had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 2 from 3 as well. On you, Patty. That was great. Aaron Bangers-Baines did not play against his old team, the Pistons, on Sunday. Missed with his hammy thing. I'm just assuming they didn't bring him on the road trip, so I'd say he'd be back for the next home game. He was rocking it out and almost ready to play when they played prior to the OKC game back on Friday. So, yeah, you'd expect him to be back this week. And then finally, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. The Mavs went up against the Saturday and then the Jazz on Monday, and he got 2 did-not-play coach's decisions over the weekend. Come on, Coach Carlisle, let's get him out there. All right, what do we do on Mondays? Oh, it's an absolute classic. It really is. Let's do the damn thing. It is the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Let's do the damn thing. It's an easy one this week. We've already mentioned them both, but Steph hitting at least 5 threes in 7 straight games is absolutely Gazy level fucking legendary. And he's, can't go back and, basketball reference Gazy's shots, unfortunately, but I reckon he probably hit, how many games straight of hitting a million threes? Probably 84? Yeah, I'd say that's about right, But at the moment, so Steph winning the Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence Award is because he is currently on pace to hit 538 three-pointers this season. That is unbelievable. That's literally his pace at the moment. 538. The most any other player in NBA history, not named Steph, has ever made is 276. That's double. Unbelievable. So if Steph doesn't hit another three-pointer today or tomorrow and misses 10 games this season, you know, just saying for rest and all that sort of shit, he could still beat his NBA record for 3-pointers by 30, which is absolutely unreal. He is on one. And I'm loving it. And he kind of needs to be. It's like he stole Clay's fucking talent all of a sudden. It's weird. And then finally, though, come on. We mentioned it earlier, but the Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Pop! 1,200 wins with one team has never been done before and won't be done until Gazy does it with the Kings, I'm saying. But God damn it, that is an outstanding achievement in the Field of Excellence if ever there was one, right? He's gotten 5 titles. He's had Timmy Duncan. He's had David Robinson. He had Clamps Kawhi Leonard over there. But he's out there crushing it. 1,200 wins is fucking awesome. Good on you, Pop. Absolutely unreal. All right, we'll be back in a sec with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews for a massive Tuesday in the NBA. Right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
Yeah. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board Twitter check-in. And Patty Mills finally dropped an inspiring one on us on the weekend. Picture of him entering the game with Rudy Gay behind him. But Patty, wearing a leather jacket and an Indigenous flag t-shirt, tweeted out, rep your flag, and a fist bump emoji. And it looks fucking awesome. I think we retweeted it as well. Rep your flag on your Patty. It looks fucking great, mate. Absolutely love it. Obviously, a very proud Indigenous Australian, and so he should be, because he's a fucking legend. Good stuff. All right, let's get to our
game previews. Game previews.
For Tuesday, we've got 9 games. An absolute pearler of a slate as well. Some really good ones in there. Let's get to it. Portland at Indy. You got the two small market teams going at it. You've got Victor Oladipo versus Dame, which should be unreal. Should be very fun, actually. Like, both are playing pretty bloody good. Playing very, very supremely nice and fun to watch basketball. So it should be great. Jeez, I reckon I went over the top with the Victor. Oh, that did not feel good. Oh, take it easy, buddy. Oh, jeez. I need a fucking Bex and a lie down. Hawks at... we don't have any... Let's check we've got some odds on these ones, shall we? And we'll just do our picks live to air. Because they weren't up when I was looking at them before. Some of these betting sites, man. They really just fucking take their sweet-ass time with the actual handicaps. Hey, we've actually got some, you little ripper. So Trailblazers are 3.5-point underdogs in Indy. I'll take the Trailblazers, thanks. Plus 3.5, fuck yeah, give me Portland. That's awesome. Next up, we have Hawks at Philly. Man. Philly, got to smash them. Get him, Big Simo! He's going to go out there and turn Trae Young inside out. It'd be nice if they smash them so hard and so early that Jonah gets a bit of run as well. But the Hawks are 11-point underdogs. I might take Philly minus 11. I'll spot them 11 points. I reckon they absolutely fucking flog them. Sacramento at Miami. Miami getting on a little bit of a roll here. They're looking sneaky okay. Classic Miami as well. They've won 2 straight. They're 3-2 now. Look, Sacramento, meanwhile, are 3-3. They're okay. They're nowhere near as bad as we expected. Miami are 8-point favorites in this one, though. I might take the Sacramento Kings plus 8. I mean, it's probably not a good idea. Actually, no, I might go Miami minus 8 because, look, Sacramento, they might have had a night off in Miami the day before. You know what happens? It's that Miami flu. So I'll take Miami. Nets at Knicks. Oh, Nets coming off 2 rough close losses to the Pelicans and Warriors. They should smash the Knicks, though. But these inter-borough games are always fucking really squirrely. The Nets, oh my God, the Nets are getting 2 points? I'll be right back. I'm going to put all my money on the Nets plus 2. Fucking hell, bro. I guess it is a back-to-back. Yeah, it makes sense. I'll still take the Nets plus 2, though. Give me that one. The Knicks are just fucking horrible. Warriors at Chicago. Speaking of teams on a back-to-back, Warriors are favored by 11 points. I will say that that is a good one. I'll take a Warriors minus 11 because the Bulls have got what? Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker. I mean, against the Warriors, yeah, that's not going to end up great for anybody, is it? No, is the answer. Warriors minus 11, I'll have that one. Raptors are Bucks, though. How good is this? We've got our final two remaining undefeated teams playing each other. Game of the day? You've got Giannis Antetokounmpo versus Clamps. Leonard, this is fucking sick. What a game. Raptors are 2-point favorites in this. They are in Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. And I will take the favored Raptors. Minus 2. I'll take Raps minus 2, yeah. Let's give us that. That'd be good. Lakers at Minnesota, where they used to come from. Lakers plus 1 underdogs somehow against Minnesota, who are a fucking rabble. I will take the Lakers, please. Lakers plus 1. Are you fucking kidding? Yeah, Lakers plus 1. I'll take that in every fucking heartbeat. LeBron versus his future pissy teammate, Jimmy Butts. What do you reckon? But this should be fun at least. I mean, the Wolves are just so weird. They beat the Cavs, lose to Dallas, beat Indy. Len lost to like the Raps and the Bucks. They're weird. And so are the Lakers. They can't beat the Spurs, but they beat the Nuggets. I don't know, man. Speaking of the Spurs, they host the Mavs. Mavs on a back-to-back as well. I'll take the Spurs. Thank you very much with the minus 6.5. I might take the Mavs with, 6.5 is probably a little bit too much. I'll take that. Mavs are even on the back-to-back. Spurs should handle that, but I might take those points, the 6.5. I reckon the Mavs, because they're weird and young, I reckon they'll struggle on those back-to-backs. And then finally, another pearler of a game. How good are some of these, man? We've got Raptors-Bucks. We've got Pelicans-Nuggets as the final game of the evening. Both have only lost one game. We've got two of the best big blokes going at the moment, Joker and the Brow. Oh, the Pelicans are getting 8 points in Denver. I will take those 8 points. Thank you very much. And pick the Pelicans plus 8. And we'll keep you up to date. How are we going with our scores? We missed it. It's weird when we have the Friday show and they don't have the stuff up for Saturday. But I don't think we did too badly with our picks. So there you go. You know what? Oh, that is it for today. And thank Christ. Oh, it's one of the roughest ones I've had to do, I'd say. That's it. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on all the social and all that sort of shit. We're always all over it. Check us a rating and review on iTunes and Google Podcasts, would ya? Helps out heaps. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, but go check out their new band, House Hats. I've Been Broken is the song that you hear behind Yeah Nah every day. It is an absolute cracker. So go hit up Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to. Chuck him a request, would ya? House Hats, I've Been Broken. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for the tunes you heard throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, whatever. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new deli review. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. I might even be more hungover. I'm going to see the fucking Bronx tonight. Jesus. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horses!
Oi, 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 how the fuck are yous? It's your old mate Deli over here. Yeah, nah, just like swinging by for like my usual pop culture review at NBA Australia, eh? And look, I gotta tell ya, this week I've been like super busy because that spud coach of ours is now my best mate after he decided to play me and my best mate Thon, eh? So it was like, hey, Deli, Thon, what are you doing, blokes? And I'm like, fucking not much because you're not playing us, you dickhead. Go on, chuck us out there. And he's like, oh, yeah, all right. And he did, and it's been awesome. I've been stoked. Thon and I got out there at the same fucking time. It was sick. We were shredding it. Thon was dropping fucking threes. I'm shooting throws. We fucking kicked the shit out of the Wolves and shit. It's fucking great, mate. So, and look, usually I take you through some sort of awesome movie or TV show or some shit, or even like a game, but I only just got Red Dead Redemption 2, and because I've been playing and touring and shit, like, you know, with the team, I've not even got to sit down and play it yet. So, what I have time to watch this weekend, though, I'll tell you what, it was the Baseball World Series, mate. And look, I know that baseball's basically for cowards who don't know how to play cricket, but I'll tell you, mate, after my mates over there on the Brewers got knocked out, hey, repping Milwaukee, fucking get him, Deli! I was over at the Red Sox, all over the Red Sox and shit, and those loose units fucking won it, eh? That was sick. I mean, fuck LA, they kicked their ass. So, look, good on them. And as a world champion myself, I know the pain and sacrifice that goes into a championship. But, mate, it was a great World Series. I love watching it all as well. Like, that one game that went for, like, a millionty fucking innings and shit was fucking wild. Like, imagine playing, like, a 7-overtime NBA Finals game, mate. It'd be fucking wild. I mean, I'd be fresh as, because I'm Delhi, but, jeez, take a bit out of you. But, I mean, those cowards are just out there, like, fucking 5 minutes at a time, aren't they? Fucking baseball, I don't know, man. Anyway, but look, my idea is like, it was really fun and awesome. Like, David Pricey Price was good as, that loose unit Steve Pearce was sick, and my close personal friend JD Martinez was bloody legendary, eh? So good on yous, Red Sox. Have a couple of tins for your mate, Dilly. Oh, and like, if I have to give you a tip, look, once you've won the title, make sure when you go to the club and get on the, like, just get on the tins, get on the Corona tinnies, mate. They're the bloody best. I still remember the first time I got one in Maryborough. I was with my best mate Plugger. We went through the Maryborough Park Hotel drive-thru with his VH Commodore, and we saw the Corona tinnies, and it was like, oh, fuck, that's Corona, but in tinnies. Oh, that's fucking sick. So I got a slab and lost my shit while we sculled all of them behind, like, the bike sheds at Maryborough High. I can plug a finger to his girlfriend that day as well. As a fucking blinder, mate. Anyway, so baseball's weird. Smash tins. Make sure the Corona tinnies. I don't understand much of it, but good on yous, Red Sox. That performance gets about like a 13 out of 10 Deli ones. So good on yous. Get on it. Grow a beard. Smash tins. All right, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week on NBA Australia with a full proper, like, full-on movie review or some shit, I reckon. So, all right, later, cunts. Deli out.